brought to you by Snow's Garden Center. I'm Corbin Snow, the Minister of Mulch.
I'm Norm Carlson,
the Professor of Plants. He brings all the knowledge and information. I'm just here to hopefully make you laugh and put a smile on your face. The color commentator, isn't that what they call it? Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We have a fabulous show for you, as always, because you are the show. We rely on your phone calls. If you'd like to join our show, if you have any gardening questions, if you'd like to join our conversation, our number here live in the WINE studios is 977-1070. Again, that number is 977-1070. And I'd also like to thank our sponsor of this week, Dixon Disposal. Remember, it all goes in one cans with Dixon's. You don't have to sort your trash. You can put it all in there. It's all recycled, and it's just so easy. And that's what I use at my house, Dixon Disposal. Check them out online. Sign up online, DixonDisposal.com. Thank you so much, Mike Dixon and the whole Dixon family, for supporting me in my bid for the Charlottesville Elmore SPCA Dancing with the Stars Critter Ball coming up this October. I will be dancing. Check us out at CorbinRocksForRover.com. Lots of exciting and things going on that front as well. Let's go to the phone lines this morning, and then we can get into some additional information. I believe we have a call on line number two. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. I had a question about pollination.
Okay.
In my garden.
It's an important part of the garden.
I'm sorry?
Pollination is very important.
Yeah, I know. Are we on live now?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I have a garden, a vegetable garden, and I see no honeybees around this year, but I'm getting tomatoes and, you know, lots of pickles. I mean, the pollination is happening, but I don't think it's happening from bees. And I was looking into getting bees, you know, like an actual hive, but something's doing it. And I noticed there's little white butterflies around. Is that possible?
Not likely. It probably is bees. A lot of times they are out there doing their thing at times of day when you're not necessarily out there to see it. A lot of the pollination, particularly with cucumbers, squash, and things like that, happen very, very early in the morning typically. If you look at squash flowers, by midday they're pretty well wilting down and about gone. Because all of that happens real, real early. I mean, probably, you know, before you're up and having breakfast.
Okay, interesting. Okay, all right, that's the answer. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, you too. If you'd like to join the show, the number again is 977-1070. Love to put you right on the air and answer your question.
And it really is something that, you know, can be a real issue with some of the things like cucumbers and squash, melons, watermelon, those kinds of things, all of the plants that fall into that cucurbit family.
Yeah.
They have male flowers and female flowers, and the pollen has to get from the male flower to the female flower with some type of a pollinator. Typically that's done by bees, but you know, there have been some issues with the bee population over the last few years, and you know, sometimes that pollination doesn't happen. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we need to be careful in applying different pest control products and things like that to make sure that we don't impact the bee population adversely, because they are a necessary part of the garden.
Bless you. Yeah, I was reading about that yesterday. I had a customer, a friend, call up and wanted some advice on getting rid of some flies on his, what were they on? Euonymus. Just a lot of fly infestation and just taking over the area. And he said, well, I've got to get rid of them. The flowers that come on Euonymus, the bees just same as the flies. The bees just love swarming and being, you know, on the Euonymus shrub. And he wanted to use an insecticide, you know, to get rid of them. And I just told him the adverse effects it can have, you know, on your gardening, on germination, on
pollination.
What we were just talking about, pollination in your garden, and you know, for the environment.
And the thing is, you know, you think, you know, well, you know, what impact does pollination have on the garden? You know, we're not trying to reproduce the plants. We're just trying to get some fruit off of them. Well, without the pollination, the fruit doesn't develop properly.
Right.
And it will actually get, you know, with squash and cucumbers, if they don't get pollinated, the fruit will develop for maybe a day or two. The plant realizes that no pollination occurred, and it literally aborts that particular piece of fruit. It doesn't waste any more energy on it because it's not going to develop any seeds. It's not going to be viable to produce offspring. So it literally aborts that particular squash or cucumber, that, you know, that piece of fruit, so it never develops and it's never available for you to go out and harvest and eat. So, and you know, the same happens with a lot of other things in the garden as well, particularly with fruit trees and things like that. If the pollination doesn't occur, the fruit doesn't develop, and that's it. You don't get anything to eat. So it really is a very, very critical and often overlooked part of production in the garden, on the farm, and you know, just in our food supply in general, is you know, that aspect of pollination.
Makes me think of that movie Bees. Have you seen that? The bee movie? But, I mean, what would happen if we didn't have them?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so much depends on them.
Right. And, you know, that is something that is very, very important to consider as you're using different insect control measures in the garden and how you're just working in your garden in general. You want to make sure that you're not doing anything to adversely impact the pollinators and particularly the honeybees and things like that are out there that are such a critical part of our food supply in kind of an indirect way. Not all, you know, some people, and rightly so, have an aversion to bees and wasps and things like that. They sting you. It hurts. Some people can have very dangerous adverse reactions to being stung. But in general, if you don't bother them, they don't bother you. So it's a live and let live kind of thing. As long as you're not out there being aggressive and aggravating them, they're very, very content to leave you alone. In fact, you know, if a honeybee stings you, it's a self-defense mechanism, but it's also a self-destruct mechanism because they can only sting once and then literally they die. So they're not interested in stinging you.
Right.
They want to leave you alone as much as, you know, you want to leave them alone.
If you'd like to get in our conversation, if you have any questions about your plants, trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, your lawn, your houseplants, pests, rodents, insect, disease, weeds, anything look funny out there in the garden, give us a call right now at 977-1070. We'll answer your phone call and get you on the air. Speaking of bees, earlier in the week I was telling my children about a story when I was at scout camp. You mentioned briefly, hey, if you don't bother a bee, they're not going to mess with you in most cases. And when I was 12 years old or so, I was at the Shenandoah Boy Scout camp, and we were waiting for the archery range to open that morning. And there was a hornet's nest down in the ground, and several of the Boy Scouts had discovered it and were kind of tempting other scouts to go and step on it.
I probably have a good idea who a couple of those probably were.
So no one was really, you know, enthusiastic about going and stepping up on it. So then boys started pulling their money together. Okay, well, I'll give you $5 to go step on that. And no one really stepped up. Finally, the pot got up to like $10. And I'll do anything for $10, especially when I was 12 years old. So the pot was up to $10. And I was like, well, show me the money, you know. So they get out their ones and everyone's pulling together. I mean, I'm like, man, I can go down to the trading post. That's a lot of junk food for $10. And so I shoved the money in my pocket. And go creeping over to the hornet's hole and just get right up on it and just stomp the heck out of it. Two or three good stomps. And I remember just turning around and running as fast as I could. And literally, it was like something out of the movie. I had this swarm of bees coming out of the hive in the ground, like chasing just me. It's like they wanted vindication, and they were going to get it on me. And everyone else, you know, innocently standing by watching all this go down. And I remember running, and it was good, you know, 100 yards, getting stung the whole entire way and ending up in the nurse's station where I was treated for like five or six bee stings. But anyway, it was a great story to tell my kids. Dad, why would you do that?
Another one of many scout camp stories that ended, you only do this once.
Good old scout camp. Let's go to line number one. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Good morning. I have a question.
Wonderful. Okay. Go right ahead. You're live on air.
Oh, okay. I have a question. First of all, I have this bee. Do you still do anything for $10?
I have a son that might.
Okay. Well, I have these beautiful flowers, and I have a flower party at dusk every evening. They are just fabulous. They look like weeds when they come up. And just at dusk, they open up as if they are your hand opening up right before your very eyes.
Really?
I don't know what the name of them are. Someone told me primrose, but somehow that doesn't make sense to me, and I would love to know their name.
What color are they?
They are yellow, and it is such a magnificent show. People are just awestruck. They will bloom for 4 minutes at dusk, and maybe you'll see 50 flowers open up between the two plants.
Oh, cool.
And then they have the life expectancy of about 18 hours. Then they are wilted and gone. And the next day, more buds open up.
Now, are they fairly low to the ground?
They're bushes, maybe 3 feet high.
Okay.
Just amazing. And
yeah, that sounds quite amazing. I'm not sure what they are.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Because there is an evening primrose, but they...
Primrose. Tell me about those, because maybe that's what they really are.
Yeah, it's possible. My recollection of them is they don't grow that tall. They're typically in the 1 foot range or thereabouts. But to be honest, I haven't ever grown any myself. And the ones that we get in are typically just in the pots and not mature. To be honest, I don't know what their ultimate potential height is right off the top of my head.
Well, so you have evening primroses for sale?
I don't think we have any right now.
Okay.
It's something that we do periodically get in, but I don't know that we have any in stock right at the moment.
Okay.
I tell you what, are you friends with us on Facebook by chance?
I am not.
Okay, well, if you're on Facebook, if you'd follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Snow's Garden Center,
okay.
Or you could email me a photo. We'd be very interested in, looking at them, or if you wanted to bring in a sample to the garden center and see if we could identify it for you. But I would love to, share, your pictures and this flower with other people. So if you're on Facebook, we'd love for you to follow us there, and you could just upload a photo to our Facebook page, or you could go to our website, and we have email information there. You could email us a picture of that photo. I'd be very interested to see that and find out more information on it that we could get back to you.
Okay. I'll see if I can get someone to help me do that. I am not computer savvy.
Okay. Well, you can always bring us, if you can bring us a good size sample, we might be able to identify it as well. If you could bring it out to the garden center on Avon Street,
all right.
That'd be great.
All right.
Well, thank you so much
Enjoy
for calling.
Yourself.
Thank you for listening. Have a
You're
great
welcome.
Day.
And it could be that, that there's a lot of different varieties of primrose. And these are not the typical primrose that you see early spring.
Right, right.
That, are in the real neon colors, that, the little rosettes of leaves that you get in the pot for $4.99 or whatever. And there's a huge variety of different types of Oenothera is the botanical name on them. So it could be that it's just a native variety or something like that that's a little bit different from the cultivated ones that we typically see. I'd be, like you say, very interested to see a picture of it.
Or maybe we should get her address and we can go over there so we can see the show.
Yeah,
that's just fascinating. I love, flowers that, just have little special quirks about them and are different than something you see every day in the garden.
Right. It
brings a lot of interest and value and characteristic to your garden. So maybe we can do that. Maybe she'd like to put on a show for all of our listeners. We could all go over there and watch the 4 minutes of splendor as they bloom.
Yeah.
There was some movie I saw and everyone was like waiting. It was like this rose or flower that bloomed like once, and I don't remember what what movie it was. But everyone's like gathering around waiting, and it blooms for like a minute, and then like the whole plant like shrivels up and dies immediately after. And you know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw that. Anyway, if you'd like to join our show, the number, once again, 977-1070. Let's go back to the lines. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show. Good morning. You're live on the show.
That would be me again.
Oh, wonderful.
With the 4 minutes of splendor.
Oh.
And you are invited to come and see it.
Oh, wonderful.
I don't want to put my address over your radio show.
Yeah.
I don't
blame
leave it
you.
With you or
yeah.
Someone.
No, you can email me if you would. Do you do email, or you can call me and give me your address, and we'd love to come by and see that.
Okay.
All right, my email is Corbin Snow, CorbinSnow, at Snownose, SnowKnows.com.
Okay.
And yeah, we'd love to come over and check that out.
And by the way, I'm a neighbor of your dad.
Oh, great. Well, we're out there.
I live in Wesley.
We're out in Wesley all the time, so we can bring all 14 grandchildren as well to watch it.
Well, okay.
I'm just kidding. All right. Thank you so much.
Right. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
My kids would actually really like that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that'd be something that'd be cool to take a video of it and share that on Facebook or on our website.
Right. So, you know, something that would open up that quickly and everything. You know, most of the time, you know, you see a flower, to really watch it open, you almost have to set up time lapse to be able to see it. But something that opens that quickly is interesting to watch.
If you'd like to join the show, we have just a few minutes before break, or are we out of time, Glenn? We got about 4 minutes. We can squeeze in a couple more phone calls.
Shoot,
again,
4 minutes, that's an eternity right here.
The phone number, 977-1070, if you have any gardening questions. I wanted to talk briefly about the importance of curb appeal when it comes to your home, not only when you're living in your home, but you know, if you're trying to sell your home or get it ready for the market, how important curb appeal is. I want to tell you a true story of a customer that we've had. We did his initial installation at his home. We did the landscape design. We did all the plants and trees and shrubs, all the hardscapes. He later came back and added irrigation. He did landscape lighting. He did just about every service we provide. And then he's had us maintain it. We're probably going on about 12 years that he's lived in the home. And he recently, his life circumstances have kind of changed over the years. He's an older gentleman, and he's having to move into more of an assisted living community. But it's been amazing to watch this property over the year, how the initial investment that he made in his landscaping, how he maintained it, how he kept it up. And he recently put it on the market this late spring. And it was funny, you know, he didn't have to do much to get it ready for the market because it had been maintained so well for so many years. So he just did the traditional things he would do every spring. You know, he went out and we did a spring pruning. We did an edging of the beds and mulching of the beds. He went ahead and put the flowers in like he did every year. You know, he didn't cut any corners. He followed normal, you know, maintenance protocol. He had us, you know, spray to maintain weeds and you know, we're still looking out for insect problems and spraying for fungus. In other words, a lot of times when we go to put our house on the market, it's like, I'm not sinking any more money into this house, you know, I'm done. And, you know, I'll get what I can get for it. But he took the exact opposite approach. And I don't think his house has been on the market 60 days, and it's under contract. In fact, I think it was on like in the 30 to 40 day range, and it's under contract. So it just goes, in my opinion, it just goes to speak about how important it is if you're in the real estate game. And Michael Guthrie, Real Estate Matters, could speak to this, and we have been on his show and have talked about it, how important curb appeal is. It's the first opportunity you have to make an impression on your potential buyer. And there are a lot of homes out there on the market right now, and you've got to do something to set your property apart from the other ones on the market. And we work, we work with several realtors in the Charlottesville, Central Virginia area, where we go out and we can make ideas and recommendations and cheap and inexpensive solutions to add curb appeal, whether it be from just a touch up of mulch to a splash of color to a full landscape design, where most times you'll recoup a lot of that expense and investment. But anyway, just wanted to touch briefly on that. We can get back into that a little bit more when we come back from the break. You're listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show on AM 1070 WINA. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to the Snow Nose Garden Show, the most listened to weekend talk radio show in Central Virginia. 17,000 strong each and every week, up to 1,000. I think we've picked up at least 1,000 listeners in the last couple years. You can listen online at WINA.com. All of our shows are saved and you can listen to them via podcast at SeavillePodcast.com. Also, we are available on iTunes.com. You can head over to iTunes or access our little radio show from your smartphone. I was listening to us on iTunes on my iPhone the other day, and we just need to get it so we're charging $1.29 per show per listen. So we can retire down in the Bahamas somewhere, Norman.
There you go. It works for me.
1 million downloads and we'd be there, man. What are the chances? Not very good. We're going to have to improve our personalities and content if we can ever make any money off this show. Thank you for suffering along another week with us, though. We appreciate it. Hopefully, we're entertaining you and providing you some knowledge in the horticultural world. If you have any questions or if you have any concerns, lots of things are actually happening out in the garden this time of year. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Just give us a call at 977-1070. We'd like to... We look forward when that little light over there starts flashing red. I get really excited. So if you want to excite me this morning, just give me a call, 977-1070. We were talking about curb appeal, and Norman and I continued the conversation throughout the break, but just how important it is, whether you're selling a house or whether you're just living in it, how important curb appeal is, and some of the things you can do to get it.
That's right. So many times, you know, we hear it pretty frequently, especially with the, you know, we've got a lot of maintenance clients around town that hire us as their maintenance contractor to come out, take care of mowing the grass, pruning the shrubs, fertilizing, taking care of insects and diseases and all those kinds of things. And it's not uncommon for somebody that we've been working with for several years, they get transferred to another city, have to sell their home and move. And as soon as the house goes on the market, they tell us, you know, I want to cut back to just mowing. I don't want to put any more money into the house. We just want to, you know, it's on the market. I'm selling it. I want to just keep the grass, bare bones
services.
Right. And leave it at that. I don't want to sink any more money into this house. And my reaction is, you know, I understand. You know, you're not going to be here for very long. You don't want to be spending a ton of money on it. But at the same time, would you like to get your money out of this house?
Right.
And how long do you want to be stuck with it? I've got some friends that have a home that they've been trying to get rid of for going on 7 months now.
Yeah.
And, you know, are having a hard time, you know, getting what they need to out of it. And it's a difficult scenario. They had, you know, they're in a position where they literally don't have any money to put into curb appeal on it, and it's tough. You know, you've got this asset that's sitting there, and the only way it can be an asset is if you can actually turn it liquid,
right,
and get your money out of it. And to stop everything but mowing, to where, you know, the shrubs need to be pruned, there's insect and disease problems, there's weeds all in the beds, things are starting to get a little overgrown looking. Yeah, granted, the grass is cut and everything, but to have all of these other things just kind of put on hold, it's amazing how quickly a yard can start to, you know, go downhill, and it takes away from the ability of that property to show at its best, and you know it it starts to work against you in that selling process. And instead of, you know, all of this work and all this effort that you put into to creating this this nice landscaping around the home being something that should be an asset and help to market your property, starts to work against you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not so much an issue of putting more money into the house as it is making sure that you can get your investment out of it.
And I know what, what you're saying. Not everyone can hire a contractor to come in. But the great thing about gardening, if you do a lot of the work, if you're providing the labor aspect of it, for $100, I'm gonna give you a $100 makeover. For $100, what you could do to totally transform your house and to give it instant curb appeal. And I've seen this done by commercial customers of ours. I've seen it done at residential clients. First thing, so you're gonna need a couple tools, and the tools are a flat or a straight edge shovel, like a spade. You're gonna need some pruning equipment and a rake. If you have those three things and a couple trash bags, the first thing you're gonna do is go out and edge your planting beds. You're gonna put a nice crisp cut between the turf grass, between the lawn and the planting bed. It's gonna distinguish the two separate areas. It's going to add some dimension to your planting beds and just an exactness, you know, an exact line that kind of defines your planting beds and just makes it look crisp and clean.
It gives you a distinct division between, you know, this is where the lawn stops, this is where the bed starts. And it gives you that nice, clean edge between the two. That it's amazing how much difference it makes. You see before and after, and it's just, the difference is huge. And so, it's a very, very simple, easy thing.
So your only cost there, if you don't have a straight-edge shovel, would be to go buy a shovel, okay? So after you edge all the beds, and again, it's a real easy process. You want that shovel to go straight down into the ground, and then you kind of, once it drives into the ground 2 or 3 inches, you give it a little swift kick, and a little dirt will pop up, and you just follow the line, the outline of your planting beds, until it's all edged up properly. If you get a lot of excess dirt, you know, the first time you do it, you'll have to go through and just kind of collect and remove that. But that's the first step. You can edge your beds. It'll cost you nothing. The second thing would be with your rake, with a leaf rake, is to go through, turn the leaf rake over, and just kind of feather the existing mulch that's there. And that'll kind of, if you take your hand, go out to your mulch beds, even if you haven't mulched in a year or 2 years, the mulch that is decomposing in those planting beds is rich. It is dark. It's gorgeous. It's really good looking mulch. So if you can go out there and kind of scratch and turn over some of that existing mulch, you'd be amazed at, you know, again, when you're right up on it, it may not look the best, but when you're driving by, when you're pulling up, it's going to pop. It's going to look really, really good.
When you're taking the picture of the house, when the realtor's
right.
taking the picture of the house, it's going to be on MLS.
Right.
And what everybody's going to see, the first thing before they even get to the home, is they're probably going to see a picture of it.
Right.
And staging for that picture, it's a perfect way to do that. It pops, and, you know, the detail isn't that important.
Right.
But just having that color and that little bit of extra distinction is going to make a huge difference.
Okay, this is your first... Your first expense is going to be either 10 bags of mulch or 2 or 3 yards of mulch. You're looking at roughly $50 either way. But go out and identify the areas that are the highest impact, the high profile areas, whether it's right up against the front door to the left and right of the door, those planting beds, or maybe you have a planting bed closer to the road, or maybe you can do both. 10 bags will go, you know, just give a real light, thin dusting, and you can just add some instant color into those beds. So for about $50, you can remulch, again, spreading it thin, you can remulch a pretty good-sized bed with 2 to 3 yards or 10 bags of mulch, okay?
Especially if you've got mature shrubs. I can do the whole front of my house
yeah,
in that
yeah,
easily.
Yeah, 2 to 3 yards will go a long, long way
right.
in the garden. Again, it doesn't need to be applied at 3 inches. You just want a real thin top dress coating to just add an extra little pop to the planting beds. Okay, the next thing that's really important, and I've seen this, one of our customers, one of our commercial customers, our bank, United Bank, we do their maintenance there. We've done their landscaping, and we bank there. They don't have the budget every year in the spring to have us put in 6-inch annuals. And they would, for all the areas they do color, they would probably need about, I calculated this year, about 150 to 200 6-inch annuals. Mm-hmm. You know, to get that instant pop where you, you know, we install them, you drive away, and you're like, oh, ooh, ah. You know, and the place just looks beautiful. But what they do every year, they have a maintenance guy, and he goes out and he buys 5 or 6 flats. So the small 4-packs, what do you get, 32?
48.
48 individual little flowers per flat. A flat of flowers is $14.99, $15.99. You're looking at $15. So for, and again, another $50, $45, $50, you can go out and buy 3 or 4 flats of flowers, and that's, do the calculation, that's over 160, you know, close to 200 plants, flowers that you can put to add color and spruce up your yard. And again, when you plant the flowers, you don't want 100, you know, 100 in a row there and 100 in a row over there. You want to go concentrated mass planting.
Right.
Where, you know, you have sweeping color of, you know, you might have, you know, 20 or 30 flowers in one location just massed together. And then, you know, in another area closer to the door, you might have another 20 to 30 flowers.
Where you're creating focal points in areas that draw interest in the garden rather than, like you say, doing one here and one there or lining them up like soldiers in a row. You really don't create much of an impact that way. But if you can just take a small area, and it doesn't have to be huge. I mean, it can be 2x2.
Yeah.
And just fill that area with plants. And again, it's not going to take a lot. Even using those the plants out of the little 4-packs, in a 2x2 area, you're looking at, you know, a half a dozen is going to do it.
Right.
And creating those little focal areas around throughout the landscape does a huge amount to create interest and create color. And it's significant color. It's color that you're going to see from a distance, which, again, is the key here. You want something that's going to stick out from the road. You're something you're going to be able to see from, you know, from 20 yards away.
Yep. Okay, so you've got $45-$50 invested in that, so we're up to about $100. I would also recommend using a water soluble or some type of slow release fertilizer when you use those smaller plants. Use a product like Osmocote, something that's going to feed them, sustain them, help them to grow and be healthy throughout the summer or fall months whenever you're planting. You're going to have to keep them watered. You know, you're going to have to go out there for the first couple of weeks until they start to mature, until they start to grow and really take hold. You're going to have to keep them watered. But again, most of this it's not very labor intensive. If you're looking for a cheap, inexpensive transformation, try those couple steps. Edge the beds, light top dressing a mulch, turning over the existing mulch, and buy some large 4-pack flats of flowers. And then the last thing, if you don't have an inexpensive pair of pruning shears, you can pick up Felco-like, you know, so don't go out and spend $100 on your hand pruning shears. You know, for $14.99, $9.99, we've got a wonderful set that'll do everything you need to do in the garden.
Right.
You'll be able to do all your little chores and touch up prunings. But go out there and selectively do some selective pruning maintenance on your shrubs. Don't get out there with a head shear and shear everything up into little meatballs and cannonballs. Just go through, because again, you want it to look lived in. You want it to look natural. You want it to look and have that curb appeal and that look that you're going for. So just go out there and just lightly touch things up. Any new growth that's come out, just cut, you know, gently cut some of that new growth back. And again, for $14-$15, you have your hand shears, a couple garbage bags, and you're in business. And for, you know, a little over $100, you could literally transform and give your house that curb appeal that you're looking for.
Right. And the good thing is, you know, particularly with the hand pruners and things like that, they don't take up a lot of room in the moving truck. Just throw them in there, and then you got them. You're that much more ahead when you get to the next place, because guaranteed there's going to be some work for you to do with them there too.
And if you don't want to do it yourself, then you can just call me at the garden center, and we'll come out and take care of it for you.
That's right.
It's that easy. Our number at the garden center is 295-2159. Visit us on the World Wide Web at snownose.com. And as always, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/snowsgardencenter. And everyone must be on vacation this week because no phone calls are coming in. If you'd like to join the show, give us a call at 977-1070.
There's just so much going on right now. So many things that I see, you know, driving around, bagworms are it's that time of year. If you've had problems with bagworms, those little worms that get in your evergreen shrubs, particularly like junipers, arborvitaes, Leyland cypress, things like that. If you've had problems with them in the past on those plants, assume that you're going to have that problem again this year, because you know 9 times out of 10 you will. And this is the time when you want to get out there and we don't tell you to do preventative spraying very often, but I'm telling you, do some preventative spraying on that. If you've had bagworms in the past, this is the time to get out there and zap them again before you start.
What's the best product for bagworms right now? What's the best thing on the market?
The best thing is the Bonide Systemic Insect Control. It comes in a concentrate that you mix with water and spray out. There's a couple of different ones out there. One is just the concentrate. Mm-hmm. One is comes in a ready to spray. Hook it right to the hose. Get the one that's the concentrate. They actually have different active ingredients in it. The concentrate that you have to mix and put in a sprayer is the one that you want, and it does a great job at knocking those bagworms. One, maybe two applications is all you're going to need, and it'll wipe them out and prevent the shrub from turning brown.
Right. And as always with bagworms, if you don't have a huge infestation, if you don't have hundreds of them, what you can do as you see them start to form and appear, just go out and simply pluck them off like you're plucking off a piece of fruit and just dispose of them. If you don't have hundreds of them, it's easy to deal with them that way as well.
Right. But unfortunately, a lot of times when you realize you have bagworms...
Yeah, they start off so small.
Right.
And before you can really get control over them, you've got a couple hundred of them on your evergreen or your shrub.
Well, typically the way that you know that they're there is all of a
the
sudden...
The damage.
This nice, beautiful green arborvitae is now all of a sudden brown. And you wonder, what the heck?
Yeah.
And you go out there and you see all these little things that look like brown Christmas ornaments hanging from your shrub. And those are the bagworms. So we want to get it before it gets to that point where you're saying, what the heck?
Why is my Leyland cypress fruiting?
And it can happen really quickly, too. That's the scary part with those things. They can go downhill really fast.
Let's go to line number 2. Good morning. You're on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
We were on the Snow Nose Garden Show.
Give us a call back. Sorry about that. To 977-1070. Yeah, speaking of bagworms, we moved into the house that we're currently living in about 4 years ago. And right after we moved, well, I was kind of during the move, and the bagworms were probably there when we moved in. But we had a really bad infestation of bagworms. It was just in the upper half of about a 10 to 14 foot Leyland cypress. And the entire top half of it had died out. And my first response was, well, we had sprayed it, but obviously once it's dead, you know, it's not going to regenerate new growth from the dead part of the tree. And so my initial thought was, hey, I need to get in, just take this tree completely out, replace it. It was about half dead. But I ended up doing just the opposite. I ended up just getting a pair of big hedge loppers out there and just lopped out the upper dead portion of it, and 4 years later it's matured and grown right back, from the other growth. It wasn't the entire top half, it was just a section of it, but now 4 years later you'd never even know it was infected or had any existing problem.
And particularly with Leyland cypress, I mean, they are so fast growing and so resilient on something like that. They can cover over a lot of damage really quickly. But it's like I say, it's amazing how fast they can go downhill if you're not, you know, paying close attention to it. So keep an eye on all your evergreens right now for bagworms and get them while they're young. Don't allow them to mature. So often we get people will call up in August, and you know the by that point the bagworms are mature. They may even have pupated and laid their eggs. And at that point, you know, what do I spray for them? Well, it's kind of too late for that. You kind of have to wait till next year to do any control measures. So get them early, and it makes a huge difference.
We're just about out of time. I just want to remind everyone that we're open today out at Snow's Garden Center. Come by and see us. The nursery is looking as beautiful as ever with all this rain that we've received this summer. It's really made for a beautiful nursery and beautiful products and the flowers and annuals and perennials, flowering shrubs and roses. Everything looks just gorgeous out in the garden. If you've never been to the garden center, we're just south of the downtown Charlottesville, about 3.5-4 miles down Avon Street. We back up right to Carter's Mountain, and we have just an absolutely stunning, beautiful nursery, and would invite you and your family to come out and stroll through the garden pass and take in some of the beauty that we have out at the garden center. And our fresh produce market's up. We've got lots of local produce available to you to purchase, corn and tomatoes, local cucumbers and squash, some watermelons. So come out and see us out at the garden center today. We'll be open until 5 o'clock this afternoon. And as always, we are closed on Sunday. So my two favorite places are closed on Sunday. Snow's, of course, and Chick-fil-A. So if I want either one, I got to go today.
That's right.
And speaking of Chick-fil-A, I won the breakfast for 10 this morning at Chick-fil-A.
Awesome.
So right after the show, I'm running over there, and they're serving me and my family and 10 of my closest friends breakfast for free.
Good deal.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. So thank you, Chick-fil-A. just about out of time. Thank you so much for listening this week. I want to remind people of an upcoming event. It's the Charlottesville Albemarle SPCA Critter Ball, and we are raising money to be donated to the SPCA, which all the money stays local. It is a no-kill SPCA shelter. And it's just a wonder. If you haven't been to the SPCA facility since they've redone it, you've got to make your way over to the SPCA. It's right behind Sam's Club and Walmart on that
Berkmar Extension.
But you can go up there and just look at all the kitty cats and the dogs, and you can take the dogs on dog walks. And they make it so easy to adopt. It's a great community partner we have here in Charlottesville. And if you'd like to donate, I'm raising money for the SPCA through Dancing for the Stars this fall. You can check out my website, which is CorbinRocks4Rover. That's the number 4, CorbinRocks4Rover.com. I'm still looking for corporate sponsors. If you'd like to be a corporate sponsor, or if you'd just like to be a friend of the show sponsor, check out the website, and any information or help that you can lend me or give me to make my campaign successful, I would really, really appreciate it. We're just about out of time. Thank you so much for listening. Get out and play in the dirt today. The temperatures aren't going to be too bad.
No, it's going to be a great day to get out and garden. Lots of moisture in the soil. It's still a great time to plant. We've had a tremendous shipment of perennials that came in just yesterday. Beautiful, beautiful plants, all fresh and ready to brighten up any spot in the garden and give you a good long-lasting bloom that'll come back for years to come.
Thanks for listening to the Snow Nose Garden Show. We'll see you next week.